Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on something that God has put on my heart. As I was just kind of praying for this meeting, praying for this evening, and just reading them in my devotions, I came across a particular story that I want to relate to you tonight. The New Testament, oftentimes it speaks of times where Jesus touched people's lives and they were healed, but it also speaks of times where people reached out and touched Jesus and their lives were impacted as well. And tonight I want to speak to you about one of those particular instances. Tonight I want you to think about a woman who has the rest of her life ahead of her. The Bible doesn't tell us whether she was married at the time or whether she was working at the time or not, whether she had children at the time or not. The Bible doesn't say anything along those lines. But one day this lady gets sick. She gets very sick. She becomes so sick that she had to be quarantined for years. So you imagine what began to happen, how her life was transformed and how it all of a sudden changed. Imagine the loneliness because of being quarantined, all of a sudden that came into her life. Imagine the despair or the sense of rejection that she felt from those around her. Imagine the shame that came upon her because of her condition. Being so sick and having to be quarantined according to the law of that particular day. She had no physician that could help her, even though she sought for help. And we want help to come from professionals, but it's not always possible, folks. But see, that's where Jesus comes in. Hallelujah. Jesus comes in with mercy, incredible mercy. He shows up in our lives. He invades our atmosphere. He invades our lives. He comes in and he interrupts everything that's going on and he makes himself known to us. One time I was pulled over by a cop. For using my cell phone while I was driving. Now I could try and justify it by saying, "Oh my Bluetooth had stopped working." But folks, it doesn't change the fact that I broke the law. I had broken the law. I was guilty. And it didn't matter if everyone else was doing it. I was still guilty. Do you know the Bible says that we've all sinned? And we all fall short of God's glorious, holy standard? That we've all sinned? Which means we've all broken God's law. We've all broken God's law. The scripture goes on to say that there is none righteous, no, not one. And it says that the wages, the price, the penalty, the paycheck, if you will, for sin is death. Spiritual death that begins to settle in on our lives, that comes into our lives. All I could say to this cop was, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." That's all that would come out of my mouth. I didn't know what else to say, folks. I was guilty. All I could say was, "I'm sorry," as I gave him my license and registration. And so he left me. He went to his car and then he came back. But while he was in his car, I started pleading with the Lord. I started crying out to God. "Oh, Jesus. Come on now. Lord." I was having some friends over that day and I was running some errands before they came when this all happened. And I was thinking, "Oh God, why?" And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm praying, I'm saying, "Lord," oh, you know how you start making promises to God. "God, I'll never do it again. Please, just this once. Forgive me, God. Have mercy on me." And so the cop came back while I was pleading with the Lord. And all of a sudden, he handed me back my registration and he said, "It's expired." And so, you know, I took out my wallet. I'm thinking, "Oh God, I'm dead." I took out my wallet. I started going through my wallet, looking where my registration normally is, and it wasn't there. And so I'm looking in places where I know it's not there, but I'm looking in everywhere, anything. I looked once, I emptied out my wallet, I looked again, and he's just looking at me. But see, when he came to me with that, when he told me my registration had expired, his face looked soft, but when I told him I don't have it, all of a sudden his face got hard. And I thought, I am dead. I tell you, all I wanted to do at that point was just hang my head and put my hands forth, because I knew I just knew it was over. So he went back to his car, and then he took a while. He got on the radio, and I said, they're coming for me. See, my mind is just going. And while he's in the car, he gets out, he comes back, and I am just sweating. I am sweating. I'm guilty, folks. I'm done. And he comes back and he starts to speak to me. But while he's speaking to me, all I could see is this piece of paper in his hand. I couldn't hear anything he was saying. All I could see was that piece of paper in his hand. And I knew it was coming. And he handed me the piece of paper. And it was a written warning. It wasn't a ticket. He gave me a warning. And he told me, if you continue down this path, if you get caught again doing this, there'll be consequences. Folks, he had mercy on me. He had mercy on me. He let me off with a warning. I tell you, at that point, I could have hugged him. You know, Jesus said, you know what the Bible says about Jesus? What he said, if anyone comes to me, I will in no wise cast you out. You know, Jesus will have mercy on you. I said he will have mercy on you. He has mercy on us. Hallelujah. He has mercy on our lives. One day a window of opportunity presented itself. Jesus came walking by. Emmanuel, God, who had made himself accessible to the people in the person of Jesus Christ, was now on the scene. And this woman had heard about it. The same one whom Isaiah the prophet called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, was coming her way. The one who made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, who raised those who were dead to life. Hallelujah, had now come. And this woman heard about it. The Bible says that she came up behind Jesus, and there was a crowd around him, and she had to press through the crowd to touch him. She began to press through the crowd to touch him. And do you know, sometimes we have to press through some things before we will get an answer to prayer. Sometimes we have to press through fear, incredible fear of the future, or fear of what people will say, or fear about what's going to happen. Sometimes we have to press through previous failures. Sometimes we have to press through thoughts of discouragement. Sometimes we have to press through doubt. Sometimes we have to press through even the busyness of our lives, distractions. Sometimes we have to press through the lies of the devil. Oh, come on now. The lies of the enemy that come against our mind, that assail our mind. The lies of the devil that tell us things aren't going to change. You'll always be the same. It's always going to be this way. You've been this way so long. It's not going to change. What will he do for you? Well, we're here tonight to tell you what he does. We've been singing about it. We've been testifying about it. Hallelujah. Jesus gave examples in the scripture. At one point, he talked about a woman who went to a judge and talked about her persistence. Another time, he talked about a woman who had come. The Bible speaks of a woman who had come to Jesus looking for an answer for her daughter. And she told Jesus, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In other words, she refused to give up. And sometimes we have to press through, folks. She pressed through everything that was coming against, everything that was standing in front of her. And she touched Jesus and was healed. Hallelujah. She was healed, the Bible says. Her life was changed. All the years of pain, all the years of anguish, all the years of loneliness, all the years of rejection, all the years of loneliness changed. Hallelujah. Because of an encounter with Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible tells us that she knew it in herself instantly when she was healed. She knew it. Folks, when Jesus touches you, nobody has to tell you. You know it. Hallelujah. You know it, folks. There's a change that comes in on the inside, like we sing here. Jesus on the inside. He begins to work on the outside. And no one has to tell you. Because it lasts. You wake up the next day, and the change is still there. And another day passes, and a week passes, and a month passes, and years pass, and the change is still there. Hallelujah. This woman came to Jesus, and her life was changed. Jesus turned around and he did a strange thing. He asked, "Who touched me?" In the crowd, and his disciples thought he was nuts. They thought he was nuts. "Who touched me?" I mean, in today's vernacular, they would have probably thought to themselves, "Jesus, you bugging. Are you bugging? I mean, look at all these people around you. Everybody's up on you. Everybody's touching you. And you're asking, who touched me?" His disciples didn't, they didn't understand. But see, he was about to give them an object lesson. He was about to give them an object lesson. Hallelujah. "Who touched me?" See, many people were crowding around him and wanted something from him. But this woman came to Christ in faith. And her life was changed. She thought to herself, "If I only can touch him, I will be healed. I will be healed. I will be healed." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to heaven's storehouse. Faith is the key, let me say it again, that unlocks the door to heaven's storehouse. Tonight I want you to note that he wasn't too busy to meet her need. He was on his way to another man's house named Jairus to minister to his daughter. But Jesus stopped the whole procession to acknowledge this woman. He stopped everything because of his love for her. He refused to let her go unnoticed, her deed unnoticed. "Daughter," he called her. He called her daughter. "Go in peace, your faith has made you whole." A term of endearment, daughter. Hallelujah. Where she might have felt an outcast from society, an outcast from her family, an outcast from those around her, all of a sudden, God Almighty was embracing her. Hallelujah. And speaking to her in love. He wasn't too busy to meet her need. And like this woman, before I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, at one point, I had tried everything. I was miserable. The relationship with my family was out of whack. I had a dark cloud of despair that hung over my head. And there was a void in my soul that religion couldn't fill. You see, I had a problem, a sin problem. It was making me sick, and I didn't know it. My spiritual condition was affecting everything in my life. It was separating me from the one, the only one who could make me whole. Sin was ruining my life. I was unclean, but God is holy. And the scripture says, in him there is no darkness at all. I was spiritually blind and lost, but he saw me. Hallelujah. And he came and he healed me. Hebrews 12:2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the leader, the instructor, the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. What was that joy, I ask you tonight? It was a joy in knowing that you and I would be reconciled to God eternally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you and I would not have to go into a godless eternity. That we would not have to go to hell. But that we could one day live in heaven forever with him. And that even as we walk with him in this life, here on earth, that we could enjoy heaven in our soul until he calls us home to be with him. The scripture says he is now seated in the place of honor by the throne of God, Jesus Christ. Psalm 139 says, he knew everything about me, and yet he touched me. And yet he touched me. The Lord one day came my way. Someone shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. And I was made aware of the opportunity to receive forgiveness of sins, to receive my healing. And by faith, that day I did. And my life was never to be the same again. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus came in and he healed all my relationships. He removed the dark cloud of despair over my head. He filled the empty void in my soul. Hallelujah. And now I stand before you, satisfied in God. Satisfied in God. Hallelujah. No more need for alcohol. No more need for weed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The psalmist, that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 142 verse 1, he said, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and I tell him all my troubles. In closing, I think about a young lady who was raised in the church. She had a praying mom, but she began to focus on her career, friends, a boyfriend, and she began to be consumed with just self-focus. Over time, she began to suffer with depression, experience hurts, pains, failures, disappointments. As a result of trying to do things in her own way. One day she was trapped in an elevator and it fell 2.5 floors. The emergency button wasn't working and she yelled and cried for help. But no one could help her because she was trapped between floors. She began to pray for God to help her. She began to ask God to intervene in her situation. And by the time she was done praying, all of a sudden, the elevator, hallelujah, the elevator began to move. Was that a coincidence? At first, she didn't understand it all. You see, she had already suffered with depression, and now in addition, she had to cope with a limp and an injured back. Her mom began to tell her, you need to go back to church. So she began to come to TSC, to Times Square Church with her mom. And during the song, I Surrender All, she did just that. She gave everything to Jesus. And then every burden was lifted. And now she sees that elevator incident as one of the most blessed moments in her life. Her depression stopped. Hallelujah. And she came to a realization of God's incredible love. She completed the New Believers class with her mom, is one of our section leaders in our youth choir. And she and her mom are on their way to their first missions trip. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, you can give them praise tonight. God is a good God. Oh, yes, he is. I want to give an invitation tonight. God brought you here because he knows your need. He came to meet you tonight. He came to speak to you tonight. He loves you, and he is calling you back to himself. He's calling you to himself tonight. You're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I hear the invitation. I hear the call. I hear God calling me. I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to surrender to God, my maker, my creator, the lover of my soul. I want to give my life completely to him. I want to give everything to God tonight. I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm coming back home. If that's you tonight, in a moment, we're going to invite you to stand with everyone here. We're going to invite you to step out of your seat and to come to the front of this church. This area which we call an altar, a place of dedication, a place of surrender to God. And we're going to pray with you tonight and believe God to touch your life, and you will never be the same. God will forgive you of your sins. He will cleanse you, and he's going to make you whole tonight. If you're backslidden, if you've grown cold and you've drifted away from the Lord, tonight's your night. He's calling you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. You hear him calling tonight. He's inviting you to come and to yield everything tonight, to open your soul, to make yourself vulnerable, and he'll make you whole. Let's stand all over this place, here on the main floor in the balcony. And if you're in the annex as well, you can come over and join us here in the sanctuary. We'll wait for you. We're going to worship together. Just like you've responded today, I had to press through some things. 21 years ago, I came and I surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. And my life changed that day. God began to change me. Things were no longer the same from that moment on. He came into my life. Hallelujah. And he began to change me. He began to heal me. But it didn't end there. He began to flow through my life and touch my family. And then my neighbors and my coworkers. I became a conduit of the love and the blessing of God. And that's what God is going to do through your life. Hallelujah. But he's got to start somewhere. Amen. And that's with us tonight. Amen. I want you to lift your hands as a sign of surrender to Christ tonight. And I want to lead you just in a simple prayer tonight, acknowledging your need of the Savior. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge tonight that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for all the wrong things I've done that caused you to have to go to a cross and pay the penalty for my sin. God, tonight, I invite you to come into my life, to be my Lord, my Savior. I give you complete control. I give you my past, my past, my present, and my future. And I thank you that I now belong to you, and that you will fight my battles for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God thanks tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray a simple prayer over you tonight. Congregation, why don't you put forth your hands towards these that are in the front. We believe God answers prayer. We're going to pray for you tonight. Father, tonight we thank you for these that have responded. And Lord, tonight we cancel every assignment of the devil, Lord, against their lives. Lord, we take authority over every spirit of depression and suicide and despair tonight. And we command the strong man to loose his captive tonight. For Jesus has come, hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to set the captives free. And Father, we thank you for he whom the Son sets free is indeed free tonight. Father, we proclaim liberty to the captives. And God, we thank you for the work that you're going to do in the coming days in their lives and through their lives, Lord, to those that they will touch. God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. For you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Restoration. He restores the years. He restores the years. Hallelujah. The years. He restores. He gives us back our families. Everything that the devil stole from us, he gives it back. He gives it back. He gives it back. Hallelujah. 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 Tonight, if it's the first time you've ever responded like this, in front of a church like this, we want you to know that we have some Bibles in the lower lobby for you. If you don't have a Bible, you can go there. We have some of our prayer partners that are there. They will pray. They can pray with you if you want some more prayer. Or if you want a Gospel of John, which is part of the New Testament, they'll give that to you for free. Want to encourage you, you need to join a local church body, a local church, and get involved with a local Bible-believing church where they'll teach you how to walk with God, how to hear from God for yourself and for your family. It's not enough for the pastor to hear from God. God wants you to have a living relationship with him, and they will teach you how to do that through the scriptures. If you enjoyed yourself tonight and you don't have a church, a local church in your neighborhood, your community, you're welcome to come in and join us. We're here Sundays 10, 3, and 6, Tuesday nights at 7, Thursday nights at 7, Friday nights at 7. We're here, folks. God bless you. The Lord keep you. And we'll see you in the house sometime soon.